Before we get started, would everybody please turn off their cell phone? Welcome to the Rural Planning Commission. This is our first Planning Commission hearing of the year. So on the agenda tonight is a legislative text amendment to add agricultural use to industrial zones. We will begin by saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Wright, would you like to lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Chambers?
Here.
Commissioner Church?
Here.
Commissioner DeSimone?
Here.
Commissioner Gardner?
Here.
Commissioner Goodwin?
Here.
Commissioner Richardson?
Here.
Commissioner Wright?
Present.
Okay, we do have a bit of a technical difficulty in that some of our microphones are not working tonight. So I would ask, particularly the ones on the end, so I would ask you when you're speaking to please speak very loudly, enunciate, and project to the back of the room. All right. We do have a quorum, so we will proceed. And our first order of business today, since this is the first Planning Commission hearing of the year, is to elect our chair and vice chair for the coming year. So I will now accept nominations for chair. Don't all speak at once. Order. This isn't an orderly fashion.
Would you like to do it again?
If nobody else wants to do it, then I would.
I appreciate you doing it again because I still need to learn what the chair does and how the position works. I'd be happy if you would agree to that.
All right. Are there any other nominations?
Did we need to second your nomination?
Yes.
Was that done?
Yeah, I think seconding a nomination is not technically necessary, okay. But it can be done. So.
Well, I would if it were necessary.
All right. second call for nominations. Do we have any more nominations for chair? Third call for nominations. Do we have any more nominations for chair? Nominations for chair are now closed. Margaret Goodwin, which is me, will continue to be the chair for this year. I will now be accepting nominations for vice chair.
I would like to make a nomination of Ron Wright for vice chair.
Ron Wright, do you accept the nomination?
Sure.
I'll second that nomination.
All right. Ron Wright. Nominated and seconded. Do we have any other nominations for vice chair? Second call. Do we have any other nominations for vice chair?
Commissioner Goodwin, could you just explain what is the function of the vice chair for our committee?
The vice chair serves as chair in the absence of the chair.
Anything else?
Nothing else. Third call. Any more nominations for vice chair? Nominations for vice chair are now closed. All in favor of electing Margaret Goodwin as chair, raise your hand. Okay. None opposed. And all in favor of electing Ron Wright as vice chair, raise your hand. All right. None opposed. So I will continue to be the chair for this year, and Commissioner Wright will be the vice chair.
Can I make a point of clarity? Is this for the calendar year? Is that
how?
So we haven't actually met. This is the first time
this
calendar year.
This is the first time in this calendar year.
Okay,
this is June 6th, and this is the first time this calendar year we have met.
Okay.
So this will be through December.
Okay, thank you.
All right. The next order of business. We have all testimony cards. Okay. Then I will now read the procedures for a legislative hearing. The meeting of the Josephine County Planning Commission will be conducted according to Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules as they apply to legislative actions. A summary of the rules follows. The planning staff will identify and explain the laws and procedures governing this action. If you believe that any laws and procedures are not identified, followed, or correctly applied, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. clearly raising a legal or procedural issue in order to be understood by the commission and participants will prevent a further appeal, a later appeal in this action. All participants are free to express their views about whether the proposed legislation is good policy or appropriate use of county resources. Any person who participates in this hearing may receive mailed notice of the Planning Commission's final decision by requesting the notice in writing. If the decision is appealed to the Board of Commissioners, or if the Board of Commissioners initiates its own review, anyone who participated in this hearing and provides a mailing address will receive notice of the Board's hearing. Participants are obliged to know and follow the rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. The next item on the agenda is a text amendment to the Dustin County Rural Land Development Code. If approved, this decision will allow agricultural use in the rural industrial zone, in the Merlin North Valley Community Light Industrial Zone, and the Community Industrial Zone. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the commission in this matter? All right. The Dustin County Rural Land Development Code sets the following limits on testimony. Participants are limited to 5 minutes unless the chair or commission grants additional time at the request of the speaker. The laws and procedures applicable to this legislative item shall be presented by the planning staff as part of the staff report. And Ms. Silverberg, will you please give the staff report?
Okay, Ms. Silverberg, Dustin County Planning. In Dustin County. And this is a list of the agricultural uses that are allowed by the code. It's under section 11.030 under agricultural uses. And as you can see, it's crops, livestock, number of animals, bees, dairies, Christmas trees, orchards, woodlots, under 20 acres. That's both outdoor and indoor. And indoor could be vegetables, nursery, marijuana, chickens, eggs, to name a few. And indoor agriculture example, I was on some real interesting examples of greenhouses, not the usual kind that we see in our backyards. And there's another one, opens up to the sky. Let's see if I can do this right now. This is a replica of the paper map that you see. And so, as you can see, I think this battery is dying. There's a little bit, let's see if I can get it over here. You can find it. Sunny Valley, Wolf Creek has a little bit, there it is. Wolf Creek has a little bit of industrial zones. And here you get, some on Foothill Boulevard, east of town. And this is the Merlin North Valley Industrial Park and the airport and some along Merlin Galise Road. And there's a little bit up here along Pleasant Valley Road off Monument Drive. A little bit along the freeway here. And let's see. Okay, now what you'll see here. Okay, Kirby has an old mill site here, and this is the rough and ready mill area right here. little bit in little, that's just a flag. Anyway, that gives you a sense of how widely distributed industrial land is throughout the county, and different sizes from very small to fairly large. And if you want me to focus in on something, just let me know, okay? Okay, so. Ooh, I think I get out of this one. All right, these are the statistics of the industrial lands. And without going through every one of them, the developed parcels, there's a total of 68 parcels and 422 acres. Those are undeveloped. 422 acres are undeveloped. On the top, the developed ones that are not vacant, there's 236 parcels and 1,392 acres. And some of those are developed, we consider developed a structure. So there could be quite a bit of open land on one parcel, and in the industrial zone, we can allow more than one use. In the Merlin North Valley unincorporated rural community, there is, 44 and 318 acres. Anyway, the total is 304 acres and, parcels, and a little over 1,800 acres. So all total, of the total of private land, there's 38,849 acres. That's just all lands and all zones. And 287, almost 288,000 acres. And the percent of industrial lands relative to the total private land in the county is less than 1% in both terms of parcels and acreage. And of those, of all of them, 28%, almost 29% are vacant of the parcels, and of the acres, a little over 23% are vacant. Okay. Okay, this is a post-acknowledgement plan amendment. The comprehensive plan was acknowledged by DLCD in 1985. And so any changes that we make to the comprehensive plan is called a post-acknowledgement plan amendment, or a PAPA. And there's very specific rules that apply for this type of change to the amendment. And the requirements are in the Rural Land Development Code, Article 46, there's plan amendment review criteria, there's the OAR, which is the Oregon Administrative Rules, which are for planning and zoning for exception areas. This is an exception area in the sense that it's an exception to a resource land. It's not farm or forest. All residential, commercial, industrial are already exception lands. And then there's the OAR, another OAR that applies to planning and zoning of unincorporated communities, since we have Merlin North Valley, unincorporated rural community, and then the rest of the county, we have to address that also. Okay, so Article 46, essentially the criteria you need to comply with all statewide and county rules. We have to look at carrying capacity, which includes water, septic, and traffic. Density and type of use, is it appropriate for the zone or is it not? And compliance with OAR 004, which we'll get into down the line. Okay, so the goals that apply are Goal 1, 2, and Goal 9. In the green are staff comments, staff findings on it. If at any point you feel as the Planning Commission that you prefer another interpretation or another finding, you're perfectly free to do that. But planning staff has found that citizen involvement is satisfied by noticing in the public hearing. Land use planning, the process satisfies the minor revision. There's a minor and a major revision, and since it affects less than 1% of the properties in the county, we consider it a minor revision. And finally, economic development, this has the potential to provide opportunities for enterprises, job creation, and so forth. County goals that apply are Goal 5, to diversify, expand, and stabilize economic opportunities. Goal 11, and to maintain, amend, and update the plan. Planning capacity generally applies to water, septic, and traffic. And it is impossible to ascertain whether carrying capacity is adequate on this, I should say, large, scattered, widely dispersed scale, because every parcel is different. Every parcel has unique geological properties that have to be looked at a case-by-case basis. And every one of them have different challenges. Then traffic, too, has to include both the county transportation plan as well as the state planning rule, transportation planning rule. Basically, we, just on the overview, don't anticipate a very large impact in general, but on a case-by-case basis, each application will undergo a site plan review to ascertain whether it's going to generate too much traffic, whether it's going to have enough water, whether it can have septic capabilities, and so forth. Then there is the density and type of use. Industrial lands are already underutilized, and they are zoned for a higher density than they're actually being used. I think typically that section in the code and the state regulations apply to increasing residential density, more so than industrial or commercial. But basically, you need to look at this. And then the type of use, is it also consistent? So which is the most consistent with industrial use? Agriculture within structures, agriculture just in general, indoor and outdoors, and so forth. These are the things you'll need to consider and discuss and arrive at some form of decision. Then Article 46, planning and zoning for exception areas. Are the rural uses, density, public facilities, and service must remain rural. Agriculture is a rural use, we found. It doesn't commit other resource lands to other uses, so no resource land is going to be committed. And it needs to be compatible with adjacent or nearby resource uses. It actually may benefit nearby uses if it's adjacent to farm or forest. However, again, it would be on a case-by-case basis, but it appeared to the plan staff it would not have an effect, or at least a significant effect. Then the OAR 22. This applies to planning and zoning of unincorporated communities. So new or expanded uses must be authorized by Goal 3 and Goal 4, which is farm and forest land. Basically, that's not applicable because basically that's meant to protect farm and forest zone properties that are already zoned farm and forest. The second one, it needs to be small scale, low impact, and have carrying capacity. So again, each application is reviewed on a case-by-case basis through the site plan review process. Then more planning and zoning of unincorporated communities. Now, no adverse effect on farm and forest uses. Some of this is a bit redundant, but we have to kind of follow the regulations. So again, agriculture uses may be beneficial to farm uses, will not adversely impact forest uses. Will it be consistent with transportation facilities? That will not impact in a significant way transportation facilities. To our knowledge, no new roads need to be built unless, like say, an industrial site decides to subdivide and a new road has to be created, in which case the developer has to carry the load, the financial burden of that. And finally, the cumulative development must not negatively affect public health hazards or water quality or exceed carrying capacity. So again, site plan review on a case-by-case basis. What scale is this operation, this application for? Just exactly what are they going to do and so forth. So essentially, there's all kinds of considerations. Should all agricultural uses be allowed? Should some be allowed? In which way? Which of them would be the most consistent? Should it be denied altogether and so forth? So those are pretty much your options: to allow it, limit it, restrict it, allow some other version, do not allow. I wanted to point out that it's not a carte blanche. Every single, as I said before, every single industrial area has some limitations and some challenges. For example, we might go back to the, maybe we don't have to the map, but for example, Merlin, the North Valley Industrial Park has a septic limitation. All of them are going to have to have some water resources challenges. Are they going to be able to get water rights? Are they going to be able to get water at all? The mill site in Kirby is a huge industrially zoned property, but about two-thirds of it is in the flood zone. And from what I understand, the base flood elevation is a good 7 to 10 feet above ground elevation. So any structure that needs to be built in that particular zone, parcel, would have to be built 8 to 11 feet above ground level, which would be a challenge. Those are just the kinds of different examples that you get at different industrial parcels throughout the county. And I do believe that may be all I need to say. I believe our new community development director may have something to add, but if you have any questions before she comes up, or if I can explain anything more thoroughly, let me know.
I have one question. There is and I don't know if this is an actual distinction or if this is just two ways of saying the same thing, refer to agricultural indoor only or agriculture uses restricted to enclosed structures. Are those two ways
to
say the same thing?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
In regard to the existing...
Please be loud with the
microphone. Oh, this is the one that's not... Yes, okay. In regard... I'll use my teacher voice. In regard to the site plans as they now exist, for example, we have an industrial zone and certain uses are allowed there. If a new use that meets the industrial criteria comes in, are they still required to do the site plan for carrying capacity, traffic, and that?
Yes, every application, every structure, every new structure, even if it's an existing business, an expanded structure, a new structure, or a new use, every one of them has to go through a site plan review.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes,
Dr.
Richardson.
All right. My question is... has to deal with the Merlin area because of it being an unincorporated area. And I noticed that in section 3C, it says small scale, low impact uses. What does that mean? It's probably not a car plant, but what constitutes for this area small scale, low impact versus medium to large? I didn't get a feel for that.
Well, that is an excellent question, and I have no idea. That would be, if you want to define it, you could do that. It's sort of using one's judgment, but it's a very vague requirement, and there is no real definition. What do we mean by small scale? For example, I would say in the farm zone, farm crop processing is allowed on a small scale. So I asked DLCD, what does that mean? They said that means it's a 10,000 square foot structure it can be bigger than 10,000 square feet. It can be 20 or 30,000 square feet, but at least 10,000 square feet of it can only be used for farm processing thing. So to me, 10,000 square feet is big, but that's, you know, my interpretation of it. So if it's something you feel should be addressed, it might be something you might want to discuss.
No, I was just curious if there was some guidance, even internal guidance, to the Planning Commission on what constituted low to moderate scale.
Any ideas over at the other table?
I would have to check and see if it's been addressed in our policy booklet or not.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it in the policy book, have you? No. I think it's just one of those very vague terms.
And that may be something that would be addressed on an individual site plan review basis. Yes, Mr. Gardner.
Yes, thank you. I'll try to speak loudly. So one of the areas that I haven't seen under consideration is the source of the power to run operations in these industrial zones. And I just wonder if it might be appropriate to think, we talked about water, septic, and traffic. And I just wonder if anybody, you know, because agriculture is basically solar powered, if this might be an opportunity for us to boost support for having, site generation of power for industrial uses. Is this at all a place where that could be relevant?
The land use code and the land use system does not really have jurisdiction over the electric. But solar production might be a very good use or application, and maybe up to the applicant, or maybe a cooperative of applicants to fund it, or possibly a goal for the county to consider as a form of economic development. Or electrical sustainability of environmental resources. But as far as the land use code, where it's silent on municipal electricity.
So my question is, would it possibly be appropriate for the Planning Commission to suggest that if people came with suggestions for including solar installation in new industrial development structures, that the Planning Commission might look favorably on that initiative as a way of helping us to increase local energy self-sufficiency?
I don't know if that's something that we could require. I honestly don't know.
I was thinking rather as a suggestion that would be welcomed favorably.
I'm sure it would be. I mean, it's a good idea, but how it's regulated and who could do it is an open question. I know that the code doesn't really address that, and is it something we can force new businesses to do? It would be wonderful if they did, but do we have the jurisdiction to require that of them?
I think that is outside the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, but that is something that you might bring up as a suggestion to the Board of Commissioners. Any further questions for Ms. Zuckerberg? Yes.
Do we have a percentage of the in Josephine County of private acreage and lots in agricultural use at this time? We have the number for
private. Okay.
So for our chart, we have there. We had a list of all the RI, CLI, and CI parcel lots. Uh-huh. Do we have that for ag use? What's currently in?
Yes. We do.
What is that number? Just curious. That was the first question.
This has been segue into our new opinion.
I did have one other question as well.
Okay.
The second question was just as far as farm processing. So let's say there is ag use of cows producing milk, corn being grown, and marijuana. Is farm processing allowed currently in these zones as far as processing the end products of this ag use? Making cheese?
Excuse me, outside the farm zone, which does allow processing of farm crops, which also requires that 25% of that processing facility, 25% of that crop has to be raised on that farm. But on the industrial and commercial zones, it is allowed. It is not allowed in any other zone. Processing is not allowed in any other zone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Please welcome our new Planning and Community Development Director, Julie Schnelzer.
That's right. Hi. Pleased to be here and hope to shed a little light on you on some of the statistics involved with this case. As you know, the county has taken a new direction where we're trying to incorporate more economic development into our planning program. And as such, when we're looking at cases, we try to look at the economic development side of them as well, or a little bit more intensely than we have in the past. Typically, when we look at industrial land, and we see that only 1% of our county is zoned for industrial, that's a red flag that we don't want to develop that industrial property. However, in Josephine County, we have some challenges due to the sewer, the water right issues, demand, that we're having a difficult time developing those industrial properties. Josephine County ranks number 35 out of 36 in the state of Oregon for agricultural production, which tells us that we also have a severe problem with producing agriculture in our county to stay competitive. By allowing the agricultural to go into the industrial zone lands, we'll put ourselves at a better competitive edge to increase agriculture in the county, and doing so by putting it on industrial land, which could easily be converted back to industrial property if the need be, if we had the demand for those industrial properties. You asked how much land was actually in agricultural. In Josephine County, we have 3.5% of our land is in agricultural acreage. So there is quite a shortage. By allowing agriculture on the industrial zone properties, we will have that opportunity to increase the actual agricultural acreage, and then also the potential for that agricultural production in the county. So I'm here in case you have any questions regarding economics, or economic development, or agriculture, and I'll see what I can do to help you. Otherwise, I'll have to revert back to my staff. This is only day four for me, so.
Any questions for Ms. Schlosser?
Yeah, you mentioned there's issues with sewer and water rights for these industrial lands. Why would those not be an issue if it shifted over to indoor ag or outdoor ag use?
There's a concern with some of them for sewer water issues, and again, it's going to be based on that case-by-case basis. Some agricultural operations will require much less water than an industrial use would.
Yes, is it allowed to have these higher tech indoor agricultural things in existing agricultural areas? Is that allowed currently?
I believe it is. What we're looking at doing is actually putting these industrialized type agricultural uses into our industrial zone, which is not currently allowed.
Yes, I understand. I just wanted to make sure it was allowed in the other direction, and it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Commissioner Gardner?
So I want to know if I understand correctly that the agricultural use being allowed in these industrial zones are intending to include both cannabis production and processing? Is that the opening that's being created here?
Grace, you'd have to comment on that, but I believe the biggest part right now is the growing of it, because we lack the space and the acreage to actually grow the crops. So by allowing that to actually be grown there, and then the processing, I believe, has to occur on a different site. Is that correct, Grace?
It depends on the ownership. It depends on OLCC rules.
Ownership, lots,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, so the same ownership, I believe, that can be on the same parcel.
So I'm wanting to know if I understand correctly that the proposed change would allow for processing of cannabis in the industrial zone. Are we clear? Is that just my understanding?
It already does, per site plan review.
Processing would be considered an industrial use that's already allowed. Can they be on the same lot? Well, it depends on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Richardson.
I guess my question is, what can you do with industrial lands that are not currently being used in an industrial application? For example, if it's supposed to be in low-impact buildings, it's not just laying there, cordoned off, and nothing happens. Is anyone allowed to use it for industrial or for agricultural use now?
No, not at the current time.
So what we're actually talking about is enabling someone who owns or manages an industrial park to more fully utilize the land.
That's it.
That is correct. For agricultural purposes, correct.
I have a question. Agriculture is currently an outright permitted use in rural residential, is that correct?
My understanding is correct.
What are the zones currently in the county that do not permit agricultural use?
Industrial. I would have to defer to staff to look at the zoning.
Is it permitted in commercial?
Agriculture is not permitted in commercial, is it?
No,
unless it's like a greenhouse?
Greenhouses are allowed. That's what the code says, greenhouses.
And
but no, it doesn't say agriculture or farm.
So would greenhouses be the same as indoor agriculture or agriculture in an enclosed structure?
Typically when you're looking at a greenhouse, you're looking at something that where you're selling plants or seedlings. So you go into the greenhouse and you can buy your flowering plants, your tomato seedlings, et cetera.
So it's more about selling than growing.
Right, it's the commercial activity versus the actual growth or the agricultural activity.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Yeah, I have a question. The industrial land that we're talking about is about 1,800 acres, correct?
It was a little more than 1,800.
Altogether, we're talking about 1,800 acres.
Well, keep in mind, you're not just looking at the vacant industrial land, because the developed industrial land could be reverted to an agricultural use under this.
Yeah, I understand. And as I recollect from the things that we've seen before, it's about 1,800 acres, okay. And I had emailed the staff before this meeting asking what was the total acreage of agriculture, and it's 33,000 acres. So if the 33,000 acres is not being used fully or appropriately, I mean, you made the assertion that adding these 1,800 acres is going to allow us to better use it, and I'm looking at 33,000 versus 1,800, and my question is, I don't quite reconcile it.
Okay, so in Josephine County, we have, and these are based on the National Ag Statistical Service, the 2012 data shows that we have a little over 20,000 acres that is in agriculture. The problem is, 5 years before that was almost 38,000. So in a 5-year period, we have seen a 25% reduction in agricultural land in our county. That is unique to Josephine County. That does not apply to our neighboring counties as well. They've had a much slower decline, if not growth, in some areas. So in Josephine County, when you're looking at over a 5-year period, a quarter of your farmland has disappeared, that's a major concern to agriculture.
How did it disappear?
A lot of it gets converted, annexed, and I don't know if that's the case in Josephine County, or a lot of it is converted to non-agricultural uses, such as residential development.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions?
Yeah, to clarify, it was 32,000 acres in ag for the county?
That's what I was told by Grace.
And totally private owned lands, that's 287,855 acres?
It's 20,256 land and farms. That's acreage, based on the 2012 Ag Statistics Survey. And it was 37,706 5 years before that.
Any further questions? All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
At this time, we will take testimony. I will be calling on people. I think I'll be alternating between people in favor and people opposed. So, to alternate, we have one more opposed, so I'll start with one. Sue Avalos.
I was really hoping you wouldn't call on me first, because I've never spoken at one of these meetings before. But I think that this is probably more about pot than anything. And I just would like to ask, what do we want our county to be known for? How do we want to identify as a county? Do we want to be a drug county? Do we want to appeal to that element in this county? I live in the area you're talking about, the Merlin North Valley area. I'm within a mile of Merlin Gleach Road and Pleasant Valley Road, and I have a true concern. I don't want to see my county change. I don't want to see a different type of person being attracted to our county. And I just can't see that there's anything about that that's good. I don't think that the ability to have more money coming in through drugs is the way to do it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, I have an ex parte that I must reveal at this moment. I was waiting until we got to the opposals, because I thought we were going to do all the favors and then the opposals. I was going to mention it at that time, but now we've had an opposal, so. I was talking to a lady suggesting that she might be interested in coming to this meeting and to speak, and she started blasting at me about her thoughts on it. I said, no. I'm ex parte, you can't do that. So she said, I'm gonna write it down. So she wrote it down on this, it's a napkin holder from Elmer's. Regarding pot in industrial areas. No, we need more.
Mr. Chambers, we cannot do this. In order to take testimony, we have to have a testimony card. Name and address of the person giving testimony.
That's fine.
Having disclosed an ex parte contact, do you feel that you can be objective in this hearing? In spite of the ex parte contact? And give a fair and objective ruling?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why I wrote it down, so that it could be, so that it could be formed to everyone. You know?
There are ways to take testimony. That somebody can submit written testimony as well as come in. But I guess since you have are disclosing it as an ex parte contact, and you want to share what you have heard, so that everybody has access to the same contact that you have, then I will permit that to be read.
Okay, thank you. She said, no, we need more industrial land available. Pot is okay on agricultural and forest, and it's Helen Scott on May 23rd.
Okay, thank you. All right, next testimony, Larry Ford.
Good evening, commissioners. Larry Ford, I'm representing Josephine Stormwater Conservation District. We are basically in favor of this change to the rules in our county. Anything that we can do to, you know, these lands are basically sitting vacant and not being used. If they can be developed for the cannabis industry, and I stress cannabis because there are several different types. And, you know, we're between recreational, medical, and then the cannabis industry itself, and hemp. And I think it'd behoove the county to put ourselves in a position to take advantage. You know, this is going to be in 6 and 8 months, a year from now, we're going to have a whole new presidential situation in our country. Who knows where it's going to go? You know, hopefully, it'll go more to allowing cannabis to be transported interstate. If that happens, I think Josephine County, due to our lack of money coming into the county, we need to position ourselves. The only thing, and three-fifths of my board are farmers, first thing they said was, when we talked about this last Thursday, was water. The unfortunate thing is, and I know it's going to be on a case-by-case basis, is do they have wells that they can use for agricultural private well won't work. My understanding is a commercial well technically is not in that realm either. So I think on a case-by-case basis, they're going to have to look at where the water comes from. That's going to be the biggest detriment or, you know, setback to the people that want to do this. So, you know, I just think that it's something that this commission needs to change those rules. And it'll let us be in a position to, in the, over the next year or so, to take advantage of, I'll say it, you know, a budding industry, the cannabis. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Paul Cuffney.
I'm Paul Cuffney. I represent Beaver Creek RV Resort, which is adjacent to the property that we're talking about tonight. We received no notification, I found out through the grapevine, about this meeting tonight. Normally, in the past, we've always received prior notification of being an adjacent property and had an opportunity to voice our opinion prior to this. So in such a short time, I was able to find, quite simply, California Fish and Wildlife has a study that determined that you could grow 4,000 plants on an acre, and that those 4,000 plants would require 360,000 gallons of water for an eight-month growing season. So if we're talking 2.5 to 3 acres in this case, we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million gallons of water. That would severely impact our water table in our area and our well and our ability to provide water to our tenants. In addition, we're concerned naturally about the odor from these plants and especially the processing. We're located to the east of it, so prevailing winds will be bringing it constantly over to us. We're obviously not going to have a lot of tourist traffic that's going to want to come back if they have an offensive odor. This particular project apparently considers you to be a detail because they've already done trenching, they're starting irrigation in, and they've already brought in plants. Again, I didn't have any time to prepare or I brought the necessary evidence. I can provide that if you're not able to go out and look at the site yourself. I feel as though the county is being just railroaded on this. The construction that's already begun is, they obviously don't care what everybody else thinks. I'm very concerned that it will destroy our business. I also think it will destroy our neighborhoods. And I made only 2 phone calls today, and a half dozen people showed up that because of those 2 phone calls, they also had no idea this meeting was going to occur. I'd like for you to take a little time to think it over. I really think it's going to impact us in a negative way. And just in water use alone, it's an amazing imposition on the existing people in the area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Duchovny. One thing I would like to point out is that this is a legislative hearing, and it isn't about any particular site. This is about a zone change for all commercial, industrial, light industrial sites.
I understand that, but there is the one that's in construction right now, which is adjacent to us on Merlin Road.
That site will have to undergo a quasi-judicial review, and at that time, when it undergoes a quasi-judicial review for a specific site plan, then at that point, all of the neighbors will be notified to come to that hearing that's specifically about that and give testimony, and that will be taken into consideration for that.
By that time, it will be fully in production. And that should be a concern to the commission, shouldn't it?
That is actually beyond the jurisdiction of a legislative hearing because this is considering all zones. But I do appreciate your coming here tonight. And when that does come up, then I hope that you will also come and give testimony at that time.
I'll be here. Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If I could, can I make a comment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
I was just going to say that if you have a concern about a zoning code violation, you should call or talk to somebody in code enforcement because that's the proper way. If somebody's building something that doesn't have a building permit or is against zoning and planning, that's the place to go. And I think our staff could help you find out who to talk to and who's on code enforcement.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner
Judge.
Commissioner Richardson?
As I understood it, unless there's been a change, there is only one state permit issued for a marijuana grow in Josephine County. Has that changed? There are now some. How many are there now?
Commissioner Richardson, that is off topic.
Well, it really isn't because it goes to how many groups would be interested in using commercial, industrial property to help us decide whether this is correct.
But this is a legislative hearing about changing the use of allowing any agricultural use in an industrial zone. It's not specific to cannabis. And
it speaks to the question that it was already addressed of the existing 30,000 acres of agricultural land versus the need to use this 1,800.
This might be an appropriate topic for our deliberations, but at this point, at this point in the hearing, we're taking public testimony, not testimony from commissioners. Thank you.
If I may.
Commissioner Wright.
Just from the questions that are appearing, I'd just like to point out that this is a county ordinance. We are not dealing with any specific piece of property, any water, any electricity. Any of that is done when the application is submitted to move that operation forward. That has nothing to do with what we're doing here tonight. Here tonight, we're talking about a county ordinance, whether to allow it or not allow it. So just keep that in mind, that the specific site is not going to have any reference to tonight's meeting.
Thank you. Michael Byrd.
Thank you, Commissioner. My name is Michael Byrd. I live at 2575 Harbeck, Grants Pass, Oregon. I'm here on behalf of Rendaga Industrial Park. I know this is a site-specific situation, but just to clarify one point, the previous talk about Speaker Mr. Cuddy, if I have the name right, he's observing activities that are occurring on rural residential that have to do with medical marijuana. That whole process is completely separate from the industrial zone lands. We're here to support the concept of having any kind of agricultural use be allowed, as the staff has explained it, in an industrial zone. The Rendaga Industrial Park used to be Bates Lumber when I first moved here in 1971. It was the major employer in the area, processed timber, wood. It became the Redwood Mill at some point. It has 4,000 amps of power service available. It has a very sophisticated water system, including fire suppression. They have a consultant who has done extensive work in verifying that they have the proper water permits. This whole area is very technical. And of course, OLCC comes into the picture for cannabis. But I noticed a reference on one of the slides to vertical farming. That's a new concept that I've been kind of following this, generally speaking. That wouldn't necessarily have to be marijuana. It could be mushrooms. It could be some high-value herb. It could be some exotic plant that we don't even know about right now. But we're basically two blocks out there in terms of using that very capable industrial infrastructure, which used to supply literally hundreds of jobs for this county. And we have tried valiantly, since I've been involved in this for the last 7 years, to find tenants for those big buildings. And we had one, Cascade Metal Recycling, was there for a while. They moved to a new building over in the Spalding Industrial Park. And we've had interest from cannabis people, but I submit that we could also have interest from non-cannabis people that want to do specialized indoor and perhaps outdoor agricultural use. And I think perhaps one of the reasons we've lost a lot of this agricultural land is because the permitting of the water rights is very technical, the power needs are there, and they may not have it out in the hinterlands. When you have that much infrastructure just laying fallow, and the only reason it is laying fallow is because the Josephine County zoning ordinance doesn't permit us to even talk to people about using it for agricultural purposes. So my position, of course, is that you should adopt this language and so we can make good use, perhaps create some jobs and economic development. We're very, very low on the totem pole in Oregon among counties for employment, jobs, economic development. Thank you.
Thank you. Jen Slusser.
I don't really need a microphone, but I'll go ahead and use it. I'm with the Merlin North Valley Business Association, and as Mike has stated, we have a lot of property that just lies there because you can't do anything with it. Going agricultural is one way of doing it, and I am going to state for the fact that I am going to oppose pot growing in Merlin any way, shape, form, and I will come to the meeting here and oppose any meeting I can. But I do take exception that the only reason I knew this meeting was happening tonight was Mr. Cuffney called me. We tried calling the planning committee, well, they closed at noon. So no one had any information that this meeting was happening tonight. I got on my cell phone, onto Facebook, and said, hey, you guys need to check out this meeting because it is going to impact our community. You have a lot of people that are for pot. You have a lot of people that are against pot. I'm one of them that's against it. Sorry. As far as voting, whether you should change the ruling, I think it's a wonderful idea. You know, we used to have a huge agricultural business in Josephine County. Lower River Road, Upper River Road, we had Gladiola Farms, we had the hop yards, we had all kinds of agriculture. It's gone. The mint farms. You drive out Williams Highway and it's really sad because all of the farms are gone and the fields are terrible. They're in horrible condition. And a lot of it comes from water rights, sewer, the runoff. Where is the runoff from all of these plants going to happen? You know, they're going to end up in our little creek. It's going to be polluted. So this is my opinion. It's the opinion of several of my neighbors that I've talked to. And, yeah, I will be calling senators. I will be calling representatives. I will be calling and writing letters against this. I don't see it is going to be good for us in any shape. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, I have questions. Excuse me, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Would you be opposed to having a chicken farm on the industrial area?
As long as it's not in right downtown Merlin to where everyone is going to be affected by it. Clearwater, they're really a good group of people, you know, and we've been trying to get the step system going for years and years. But during the summer, when the winds change and people are up in the park, they're going, why does it smell like a sewer? It's because of the sludge lagoons.
Right.
So yeah, if you have chickens going in the industrial park, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have that smell. You're going to have the manure leaching down into that creek. That creek right there is going to be the big problem because where they've already started on this pot plantation, they're going up the hill from Merlin Road up to Harris Road. Okay, they've got to put a fence around all this property. So they're going to put black plastic around there. Boy, that's going to look really good. I mean, Merlin has a great reputation anyway. You cannot hide all those pot plants going up that hill.
I'm going to have to cut you off because you have used exceeded your time. And this is not really usually a time where the commissioners question people who are testifying. Commissioner
Dirk? Well, yeah, I thought it was. I thought we could ask questions of the speakers for testimony.
Yeah.
Okay,
but then you had.
Okay. I have. Oh, jeez. Well, she left. Oh, well. Okay.
Mr. Cuffney, if you can bring her back, we will ask a question.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question. I just wanted a clarification. Did I understand correctly that you are opposed to any of what we're preparing now for new legislation that would allow agriculture uses in industrial land? You're opposed to any of that?
I am not opposed to all of it.
Oh, okay. That's what I want to clarify.
But I want to know what it is going to be, how it is going to affect our creek, our lands. We have so much trouble in Merlin with, you know, water, the runoff. You know, all of these businesses have to have their septic pumped every single month because of the surface water. So how is all of this going to affect that surface water, the creek? You're going to have a lot of wells that are going to be polluted.
And that could be dealt with the site plan review process, as it would be for a new industry who were building metal fabrication, for example.
Yeah, again, we've gotten into talking about a specific site, and this hearing, I'd like to remind people, is a legislative hearing, and it's not about any specific site. When a specific site is approved, if this legislation is passed and agricultural use is allowed in an industrial zone, then each specific application to use an industrial zone for agriculture would have a site plan review. It would have to be applied to the planning commission. It would come before the planning hearing and a quasi-judicial review. For everything in that hearing would be specifically about that site. But in this hearing, in the legislative hearing, it is not appropriate to discuss specific sites. So I'm going to discourage the commissioners from asking about specific sites, because that's not what we're here to discuss tonight. But I want to thank you very much for coming here tonight and for taking your time to come here and speak to us.
Not a problem, but I would really, really like to suggest that if you're going to have a meeting like this, that it's over the radio, in the paper, wherever, because nobody knew.
Again, for a quasi-judicial hearing, a notice is sent to all of the neighbors and all of the people in the affected area. For a legislative hearing, because this is simply an ordinance being passed, then it's published, I believe, in the newspaper, and it's published on the county website.
It was not on the county website. I could not find it.
It was not on the county website?
I looked, and it's nothing on the county website.
It's under hearings.
Yeah, apparently it is on the county website on here. I know that sometimes it's hard to find things on the county website.
Well, apparently.
But perhaps we can take this under advisement and find a way to make these hearings better publicized. Perhaps that's a good suggestion to perhaps do it on the radio as well as in the newspaper, and that way people will know what's coming up. Maybe the radio will even make the charge for that. All right. Thank you very much. Kit Doyle.
Cliff's going to go ahead and speak. He came back in. I checked that I wasn't going to speak.
Oh.
I'm not prepared to say anything.
All right,
Cliff
Thomas.
I'll
just pontificate
and
bore everybody.
Cliff Thomas at Grants Pass. I'm in favor of this change to the ordinance. When John talked about the farming, why we need this when we have so much acreage. To speak to that, from 2007 to 2012, we lost 50% of agriculture production in Josephine County. Bear in mind, 2007 is when the recession hit. And the hardest hit was small businesses and farmers specifically. Credit lines, dried up. Farms went under. There just isn't that. It wasn't feasible for farmers to do that. And so much land has gone feral. And many people have spoken that a lot of these lands are now being taken up by the marijuana industry. And part of that is a requirement in some areas to have irrigation through recreational marijuana growing, through medical marijuana growing, you have to have a certain amount of irrigation. And so farmland is lends itself to that. And so we're seeing more of it used, but they only use a certain amount of that land. So if you have 100 acres, you still only use 40,000 square feet of that for marijuana growing under the state licenses. So that's something that we won't see that mass use of marijuana usage in the farmlands. We'll still see a lot of vacant farmlands. In industrial land, we find a perfect opportunity for smaller farming setups. When we talk about doing things from microgreens to wheatgrass, vertical growing, it becomes a lot more profitable in a smaller space, and industrial land, industrial buildings lends itself favorably to that. I'm the president of the Oregon Hemp Company, so I was first Oregon hemp farmer in 80 years to plant hemp in Oregon, and that was right here in Josephine County. Last year, legislative session, they had a House Bill 2668, which sought to put a moratorium on industrial hemp growing in Josephine, Jackson, Douglas County. Me and others worked hard to get that defeated on the last day of the session, and the only upset there. and because we wouldn't have been able to grow industrial hemp in Josephine County. But one of the things when industrial hemp law was written, unfortunately, made industrial hemp the only agricultural crop in the state of Oregon that had to be directly seeded. So that means directly in the ground rather than in greenhouses or indoors. And that's real problematic. Josephine County is the largest marijuana growing county in the state. We have the best weather for that. The problem is cohabitation with industrial hemp doesn't work real well when you're growing by seed into the ground, because the cross-pollination with marijuana will destroy the crops by seeding them out, making them worthless. And I know for a lot of people that sounds great, but in a struggling economy, that's not so great. And to be financially liable for the destruction of another person's crop doesn't sit well with farmers who, you know, are just trying to make a living. This year in the short session, we had a bill sponsored specifically to allow for growing indoors, to grow industrial hemp in industrial areas, to be able to do plant starts, cloning, cuttings, and then be able to direct plant into the field so you don't harm your neighbor, so you don't cross-pollinate. This is a great opportunity for the advancement of industrial hemp in Josephine County by allowing this type of zone change to allow that. And so we do have two industries that can coexist rather than fighting or battling each other. So the hemp wars don't begin, so it would be. So I speak in favor of it. As we look, we're diversified. We like to look at other things to be able to do inside and take use. We operate out of Murphy, and there's a ton of vacant industrial land there, just like there is in Berlin, Wolf Creek, and other places. And though I am a big supporter of, you know, I've been thinking, when someone mentioned earlier, we don't want to be known as a drug county, and unfortunately we already are, because Josephine County has more deaths by prescription drugs than any other county in the state, and the state more than any state in the United States. Last year, drug overdose fatalities exceeded traffic deaths. And I throw that up only because that's the county I don't want to be known for, and we are. As far as odor, you know, that keeps bringing up. I don't disagree. There are odor remediation, you know, available, and I think that's written in through rules rather than in through code. So if marijuana is an issue, and it is an issue, it, you know, it, when you grow in 40,000 square feet inside, it emits a lot of stink. But there is remediation available for that odor. And when you're indoors, it's out of sight. I'd rather have 40,000 plants growing indoors out of mind, out of sight, than out in the field in agriculture with big black. And it was requested that our phones be shut off at the beginning of the meeting.
That was not a telephone.
On behalf of the industrial hemp farmers of Josephine County, we stand in support of this ordinance. Thank you.
Stephen Fredericton.
I have no comment. I don't want to speak.
Thank you. And lastly, Joe Sequeira. Did I pronounce that right?
Sequeira.
Yeah, thank you.
That's okay. I thought this was going to be about a particular parcel in the area where I live, but it's not, so I have no comment at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no more comments, is there anyone else who would like to make a comment on a testimony card? All right, seeing no more comments, we will now close the testimony from the audience, and we will bring it back to the commission for deliberations. So once it's brought back to the commission, there will be no further discussion from the audience. Commissioners are still allowed to ask the audience questions if they need to clarify anything from the testimony, and ask questions of the planning staff, but there is no more testimony at this time. All right, I'm bringing this back to the commission for deliberations. Each commissioner must state their finding and the reason for their findings. And then we will have a 5-minute recess to prepare a motion. And at that point, whoever prepares the motion, please write it down because I will have to repeat it as part of the member, although I'd like to point out that on the back of the PowerPoint deck that you all have in your staff report, I believe there are the suggested hearing for the motions, and then on the page before that, there are the text amendments that could be proposed, the text amendments that could be proposed. All right, so who would like to begin in the deliberations? Don't all speak at once. Commissioner Scarlett?
First of all, I'd like to thank the planning staff for including economic development in the preparation for the materials this evening. I think that actually our county is in a lot of economic difficulty, and I noticed as I read through the comprehensive plan that there has been a lot of support for forestry as the economy of the county. And I noticed just last week that Rough and Ready has taken some of their cutover lands and are now, Rough and Ready are now building greenhouses. So I think that's, always, to me, the most telling statement I have heard yet about the future of agriculture in our county. And I am generally in favor of encouraging the economy that is already here. I'm pleased to see this development come before us. Considering what's been happening in Jackson County, I think this is a well-crafted piece of legislative work, and I want to thank the planning staff for your efforts, and I would lend my support to this measure.
Commissioner Richardson?
I'm going to have to yell. I think part of our problem is we are caught with an emerging industry. If this were a tobacco county and we were growing tobacco plants, we would be having a far different discussion than we are now. But the voters of Oregon have spoken, and eventually when the dust settles, this is a legitimate crop. And so we have to talk about, do we want to be the last people on board, or do we want to set standards and criteria that establish this as an ongoing concern, so as it looks as though it's going to become legal across the United States, will be known kind of like Humboldt County. As a chemical engineer, I say, all right, if I'm going to grow this stuff, I'm going to worry about quality, quantity, and security. And even Oregon, who says you can grow anything you want anywhere if it's agriculture and the neighbors can just put up with the smell, we in the rural residential areas were here first before the marijuana plants moved in. And I live downwind of one of those. I've had my fences cut so that strangers could get to it. I want to see it in an industrial area where I know it can be controlled, where I know that adequate security is available. I'm not going to have to worry about my water supply. All of these things, they lend themselves to control. And if push comes to shove, I have to say the industrial sites are where these things need to be encouraged to develop. If it turns out we're going to grow chives or kale in industrial settings, that's okay too. This is our opportunity. I would not want to grow marijuana where I couldn't find security, that I couldn't control the potency of my crop. Hydroponics has been demonstrated to be a beautiful way to do that. So I look at this and I say, why shouldn't we use industrial lands to its maximum capacity? Where I'm from in the Midwest, we have agricultural lands existing with commercial development side by side because we actually use a two-tier fee structure. So as long as the land isn't being developed, it can safely be used for agriculture, and they pay taxes based on agriculture use. The minute they find somebody to develop it, they automatically go into the next tax structure. So when I look at these things, why should Josephine County be any different? And so I look at this and say, if you want to use it for agriculture, and we look at the four options, any agriculture that can peacefully coexist with an industrial site should be welcomed. Thank you, Commissioner Church.
Not to be redundant, I think Commissioner Richardson has done a very good job of explaining my position. I do think that the county staff has done an excellent job of preparing the findings for this in terms of the ordinance meeting all of the policies and goals of the Josephine County, as well as the myriad relationships of the OLC, DLC, Department of Land Conservation and Development. I think the only thing that I was confused about, and I maybe would like to hear the rest of the, before I make a decision, is I was kind of confused as to whether I thought that the enclosed option, the staff offered us a couple of options, and one of them was for agriculture and enclosed structures only, such as greenhouses, et cetera, or just basically, anything out, planted out, corn, kale, whatever. And I was leaning towards enclosed structures, but I may be now, after hearing at least a little bit of testimony, just say, why not use it? And that's kind of what I'm thinking, but I would like to hear what the rest of the commissioners have to say as well.
Thank you, Commissioner DeSalle.
Yeah, my thoughts are limited to Rural Land Development Code 46.040, Section D, consistency with surrounding area. These areas, although you said they're only 1%, the less we take out of the one we take out of that, that's going to be a smaller portion. My understanding was we're looking to maybe get more logging done. And so if you use up these lands that are going to be used for ag use, what happens if logging does start up again? I know that's a long shot, but it is something that I believe Simon Mayer is working on, correct? So, and as far as the question I had was, can production of, after the plants are grown, can they be processed in industrial areas? And they can. So I actually say it's not consistent with the area, so I'm against making the proposed amendment. And saying, hey, there's a lot of poppy in the room, but let's find ways to get the processing done in the industrial center. So that's where I lie.
Thank you. Commissioner Wright.
I believe that the application has met all the requirements and it should move forward as a approve all agriculture uses indoor and outdoor. Specifically, I would like to address Mr. Thomason and his group, because I think people just don't understand the difference between hemp and marijuana. And anyone like my father or me that was in the military and used a hemp rope, your clothes were made of hemp. There is so much use for hemp that it is one of the most variable, practical things on the planet. Has nothing to do with marijuana. There's no high content. You're not getting druggies in there using it. It is a very valuable crop, and we have the biggest base of it here in the county. And I think we need to encourage that crop in any way, shape, or form. Because we're not encouraging the drug side of the house, but we are encouraging a very practical plant that needs to make a comeback.
Thank you. Commissioner Chambers.
What I find is that, what I found is that I believe that this does not meet goal 5, which is to diversify, expand, and stabilize economic opportunities for the betterment of the county. I believe that what this does is this puts all our eggs in one basket. All of our industrial land, or a certain portion of it, an amount of it, will be gone over to agricultural use, which we already have a lot, that some of it's out of use now, but I believe that this consolidates it and makes it so that we have less diverse economic opportunities here. However, Mr. Thomason, I did attempt to get hemp seeds, and I was not allowed to.
You've got as many as you need.
I'm sorry?
You've got as many as you need.
Good, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
I think that we would be making a mistake if we allowed agriculture on industrial land, because I think that we would be consolidating instead of diversifying.
Thank you. Well, I find that the criteria have been met. In addressing the comments about the lack of diversity and Lumberville not being able to come back, I believe that property should be used to its highest and best use, and I believe that the ultimate arbiter of the highest and best use of any property is the property owner. So in the interests of property rights and people being able to use their property as they see fit as the highest and best use, I would support this. I would say that if there is some higher, better use, if logging does come back and if timber mills will become profitable again, I hate to have seen our timber mills close in this county. I hate to have seen what happened to our community. I would love to see forestry come back. And if it does, I think that Lincoln, Jennifer, Philippi probably would reopen the mill. But in the meantime, that's going to be a long time, and I don't want to hinder economic development. The thing about the agricultural land is that based on the EFU criteria, that you have to have 80 acres to have farmland, land that's zoned for exclusive farm use. And, a lot of people don't have that. So what they do instead is they go into rural residential land and they plant their marijuana there. And I don't particularly want having marijuana in my backyard or my neighbor's backyard. I would much rather have them put that in an industrial site where it's not going to impact all the neighbors and the residential communities. So we can't stop it. It's here. The law is rooted in a high agricultural crop. And, by putting the bottle cap on and saying we can't do it in industrial, but we can do it in any other zone, then we're going to just have more of it in rural residential zones where I think that people don't want it to be. So I would tend to vote in favor of his. All right. Yes, Commissioner Irwin.
I wonder if I might ask a question to Mr. Black. About this question about EFU and the farm being a minimum of 80 acres, there was some talk in the Rogue Valley about recognizing diversification within small farms, because many farms are smaller than 80 acres in the Rogue Valley. And I just wonder if that 80 acres, is that your understanding that's still the standard? My farm is only 24.
Good evening, James Black, Planning Department. To address your question, I'm going to put it in a little more context, and that is the term 80 acres, that is a minimum lot size for a farm zone. It doesn't mean that you have to have 80 acres to have a farm in a farm zone. It means that if you ever wanted to divide a piece of property in the farm zone, you have to start with at least 160 acres before you start dividing it up. So that's kind of where that term comes from.
And my understanding is that you cannot divide it smaller than 80 acres.
You cannot divide it any smaller than 80 acres,
right.
Meaning that you have to start with it. You have to have at least a huge parcel, at least 160 to get two lots out of it.
Unless it's pre-existing.
Unless it's pre-existing, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so if somebody wants to, to grow marijuana, they either have to find a pre-existing smaller lot that someone will sell, or they have to, by an 80-acre lot, which most marijuana growers don't do. They will just go to the rural residential area, get a 5-acre lot, and grow it there. And in my neighborhood, my neighbor just pointed out to me recently that, within a mile of where I live, there are some of these pot grows. And I just think that an industrial park is a more appropriate place for that kind of industry than a residential neighborhood. Any further questions or deliberations?
I just wanted to say, if they could put it into an industrial zone, that doesn't mean that they're going to do that. They're still going to do it in their rural residential. I mean, it doesn't stop somebody from putting it in rural residential.
It doesn't. It does give them another option that may be a preferable option.
Okay, I understand.
Without as many neighbors complaining.
No, I understand.
A more legitimate enterprise would be more associated to an industrial than a backyard grower.
Any further
Yes.
We're at the edge of this. We are not to the point where the Marijuana Growers Association of Josephine County is having nice annual banquets and not being recognized for community service. It will come if this continues to be a legitimate business. And I think part of our job is to pave the way for this to be legitimate and to get it out of the shadows, give it an opportunity to operate in a very straightforward way. I don't want them in my rural residential area either, but the citizens of Oregon have said it is a legal crop, and we need to support that legal crop.
Any further deliberations, questions, or comments? All right, at this time, we will adjourn for 5 minutes. We will reconvene at 7:33, and will somebody prepare a motion?
Thank you.